Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, right?
Because it might happen.
We are here to talk a little bit about ourselves and what's going on in our lives and things like that. But we're also here to do an episode of content about the Wheel of Time.
That's right. You know, so we got the Black Tower here. Andrew is out on Black Tower business. He's keeping the Sean Chan in line.
There you go.
Bastards are, you know, they like to tote the line. They like to be like, hey, I know you said don't come right here, but what if I just...
Hey, you stay on your side of the car.
And then Andrew's got to be there.
Don't make me turn this car around.
So that's where Andrew's out this evening. So it's just going to be myself and Daniel. I hope you're okay with that. Ooh, lightning. There's a huge thunderstorm. So if you guys see a blinking in the window from time to time, that is, maybe I can even just show you, like, no.
Oh, snap. That's actually a really nice view.
Oh, yeah. It's so cool. Alrighty. Like I said, it's actually a really nice part of town. So we're right next to the baseball stadium.
Oh, shit. Nice.
So anyway, Black Tower Podcast. Welcome to the Black Tower Podcast. We are a Wheel of Time podcast. Thank you for tuning in right now. We hope you enjoy the particular flavor of your dose of madness as we pour the sweet honeyed taintiness into your ear. I am your Soramon Mahail, Josh.
And I am your Amencon Mahail, Daniel. And tonight, we are talking about something very special.
Oh, yes.
Which is actually fun, because I am not saying that Josh and I are normally on exactly the same page. And I'm also not saying that, like, you know, I don't know. It's going to be a fun night, because we're a little on opposite sides of this particular thing. But before we get into that, I am going to give you your spoiler condom tonight, and we'll probably have Andrew edit one in, but I don't actually have access to them.
And also, go ahead, you know, we got to throw one out for the live listeners. I'm pretty sure all our live listeners who are our Patreons have read all the books. I don't think there's any first time reader, but we should, as a courtesy, throw it out.
Yes. Well, at the very least, we have to give Andrew a place for editing the spoiler warning in. So even if we were just like, hey, y'all, I'm lazy, but this is where the spoiler warning is going to be. So y'all been spoiled. Like, that would even still be a spoiler warning in and of itself, technically. But we're going to do a proper one, but it's going to be a nice... it's going to be a nice live one. And yes, Morshadi, I am in charge of the recording tonight. So thankfully, you're not showing up, because as far as I can tell, this one's already recording successfully. But if you arrived or did any spoiler warnings or anything live, it would immediately make me need to lose the recording, corrupt it in some way. Light. Or
could you imagine, though, for real? Could you imagine him up, like, by the way, I'm in Detroit, homie? Like, that would be weird. That would be creepy.
That would be super weird. Funny. Or if he just, like, showed up outside my door, that would also be funny. If he was just like, I'm in Los Angeles. Daniel, I'm here to kill you for all those episodes of mine that you lost. Ladies and gentlemen of our live listeners, and possibly our recorded listeners, if Andrew decides that this is good enough to leave in and not edit a different one in.
Nope.
The Black Tower stands fully erect.
When the tower is bulging at full erectness, you must protect yourself from tainty spoilers.
Your spoiler condom must cover the immense girthiness of all 14 books of Robert Jordan's The Wheel of Time.
With an itty-bitty tip at the top for the prequel New Spring.
If your condom is too small, you will get tainty spoilerages all up in your eye!
Or ears. You have been warned.
He's just wrapped up, because if you go ahead and have a spoiler baby, you got child support for 18 years. Spoiler and that baby. is not a fun thing to do, especially if you make good money. Because remember, child support is calculated on your income. So if you make a good income, you lose more of a percentage of it. So you want to just roll that all the way down. Oh, make sure it's all set. Oh, also, make sure that you pinch the tip. That's the companion. Because there might be some stuff from there as well. But anyway, yeah, so as longtime listeners of the podcast will know, we do have a few long-running, or maybe not that long-running, but still continuous, segments that we do on the podcast. And tonight is no exception. This is one of our very...
No exception indeed.
This is one of our very fun, and I think one of our better segments, which is...
Sorry to cut in again, but we got to take a second and thank our channel sponsor, the Crystal Barista. Make sure you head over to crystalbarista.com and check out all of the amazing rocks and minerals and the tools for rock hounding if you want to do it on your own that you can find there. If you want to do subscription boxes, Crystal Barista also offers monthly subscription boxes that are delivered directly to your door and hand-packed by Crystal Barista with the assistance of our own Sorvon Mahale, Josh. Also make sure you check out Crystal Barista's Facebook page at facebook.com/rockpick. That's pick as in pickaxe with a K at the end for all of the amazing deals that the Crystal Barista does do from time to time. It's also the same place where if you're in the local area, you can see posts and updates about coming events. Make sure you head over to crystalbarista.com and then check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/rockpick. And when you're done getting everything you could possibly desire from crystalbarista.com, make sure that you let the Crystal Barista know the Black Tower podcast sent you. Now, back into the episode.
The characters in the Wheel of Time that are not part of the, you know, super main cast, they're not part of the Emmonsfield Five, they're not part of, you know, Moraine and Entourage, they're not part of Tom and Entourage. They are the people who are secondary, tertiary, maybe even quadrary characters.
Now you're just throwing out big words,
right? That show up in the story, but do well. We can disagree on this later, but do a lot for the story itself. That the story would not be the same without them. That the last battle would not necessarily be won without them. That they play a big part in the story, whether positive or negative, because we've actually toyed with playing with some background breakdowns of some villains later on. We have not yet done one, but we have just toyed around with the idea of doing that. So it's not necessarily always they do good things for Darman Gaiden. They may do some not great things for Darman Gaiden. But as of today, the character that we are talking about does actually do positive things for the story and Darman Gaiden, because he is a good guy. So the character that we are running through today is Dobrain Taberwin, or Taborwin, or Taberwin, or I don't know.
Taborwin.
Taborwin. Name, exactly.
Now, I got to say, I said he's a bum earlier.
You did.
And I got to say, I got to take it back.
Oh,
Because I have my characters mixed up, so I apologize.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay, so we won't actually necessarily disagree.
Necessarily.
We'll see.
We might still. I might, still be a contrarian ass.
Indeed.
So welcome to the Black Terror Podcast Background Breakdown. Andrew, enter in some sick intro music right here.
Indeed.
Maybe
part of our of our Black Tower song. I don't know.
So Dobrain is head of the House Taborwin.
Indeed.
He's older gentleman. He's got platinum hair, his white hair, his head has the hairs of many wisdoms.
Indeed.
He's a soldier. But not the Silver Fox, just a.
Yes, no. Not the Silver Fox, because that will be Matt when he's older.
Right.
Wearing his Fox head medallion.
Right. So his con, as it were, his crest, is a blue square with two white diamonds. Now he does his first introduction to the story. He's carrying in nobles, mm-hmm. noble, Carrion and Lord. And as we know about the folks in Carrion, they like to play the old game of houses.
The days of demur.
They love to plot and scheme. Scheming and plotting. And that's their bread and butter. That's what they love to do. And when Rand first arrives in Carrion, and he's on the heels of the Shido, he expels the Shido. He says, "Be gone, Shido thought."
Indeed.
And Dobraine it helps in this process.
Yes.
He's one of the few that's leading the resistance inside the city, right?
Correct.
As the Shido are laying siege to the walls. Mm-hmm. He's the one that's like leading the resistance. He's got the soldiers organized. He's like, "No, not again."
We've Please. Been through this once.
Creator,
I've seen this one before.
And he's giving everything he can to make sure that does not happen again.
He's not as good as the other guy, but Dobraine is the Brodel Iteralde of Carrion right now, because as stated, he is doing everything he can to go ahead and keep Carrion safe. Which, granted, the Shido do actually seem pretty content to lay siege to the city, so it's not like they're actually like really doing a lot of entering, but at the same time, I mean, he is still right, but they are still very much a threat. And Dobraine is at least one of the people preparing the city for an entrance. He is preparing for when they actually decide to try and, you know, overcome the Carrion and walls and things like that. And he's actually one of the lords who was responsible for the evacuation of the Foregate.
Yes, absolutely. No, and when you think about it, you know, you've got Carrion, who still live, who still have nightmares of the Blood Snows when the Aiel crossed the Dragon Wall and executed King
and murdered everybody.
And murdered everybody who got in their way.
I was just like, you soft wetlanders.
You guys are so lame and weak. So stupid. And so they're still living in the shadow of this fear. They have like PTSD as a nation.
The second they see somebody with red hair, they're just like,
right? And then the Shido are all like, "Hey, we're here to kill you." And then everybody like, "Oh God," they like crawl up in a corner, find a happy place, but not Dobraine. Dobraine is like, "Oh hell no, we're not doing this again."
Oh, yeah.
And he organizes the people, mounts the resistance. And, you know, we've got to say, he is no Brodel Iteralde. Okay.
He's not a great captain. No.
But
he's not an idiot either. But he's definitely amazing strategist.
He does an amazing job of holding the Shido back. He knows they can't last for long. Mm-hmm. He knows he's doing the best he can with the tools he's been given. And he knows, eventually this ain't going to work. So maybe we just kill as many of them as we can.
Right.
And hope that we can hold out long enough for help to come.
Right.
And the gamble works. It pays off. Dobraine's able to hold the Shido back until Rand and the rest of the Aiel clans can sweep in and destroy the Shido.
Sylvanas and Cooladin's credit, they also didn't seem to try that hard. Like, again, I do still think that Dobraine was doing a good job. Like, again, I don't want to throw him under the bus or anything like that, but it also was very much like a pot on Fane gambit of like, all right, cool. Well, if Rand wants to be the fucking Kara Karn, then we'll cross the Dragon Wall and go take Carrion and see how he fucking likes it. then they showed up and were like, oh, he's like right behind us. Okay, cool. We'll just fucking kill him when he gets here. Like, they didn't go ahead and, right? Yeah, they didn't actually really try to take Carrion that hard because they knew that actually taking the city was going to divide their forces and do enough that when Rand showed up, they were just going to be in a really bad position. So they do kind of hold their just threatening Carrion. And again, it's not like they don't send some forces there and fuck some shit up and again, do a good job. Yeah, but at the same time, it's not like a full-fledged assault because they know that they get fucked if they're legitimately like, okay, well, either we get sandwiched between Carrion and the Aiel as they come at us, or we take Carrion and lose enough forces that we just immediately lose Carrion. Neither of these are great ideas. So
yeah. No, you're right. That is a good point. And so it's kind of like, you know, when you play Risk and like everybody's on the board, like, I don't want to attack anybody because I don't want to make anybody mad because I know if I make somebody mad, then I'm going to have three people attacking me. And it's kind of that scenario.
A little.
Everybody's kind of in the moment of someone else has got to make a mistake first.
Yes. Well, and it's interesting because, of course, Rand and the other Aiel are coming in from Australia. So they, like, don't have to worry about their backs because there is no other entrance into Australia.
I like that.
And, you know, fucking Cooladin's trying to hold Asia. And Asia's hard to goddamn hold. So he's just like, you know what? Fuck it. We'll just stay in... We're just going to stay in China.
A pretty good place.
Yeah. Just going to hang out in China and Cambodia and be fine.
In China. He's going to hang out in China.
In China and Indonesia.
So the whole battle takes place and Rand comes in and basically says, Dobraine, that was awesome. Good job. Good work. You're one of the people that I like.
I was going to say that because he comes in and he goes, he comes in and he goes, all right, who actually fucking did anything? Because the rest of you cowered in corners and I automatically don't like you because fuck you. And, you know, the king is gone. Galdrian's been gone for a little while and Barthanas is gone. He's been gone for a little while. There's a bit of a power vacuum going on in Carrion. Who is actually doing something about it? Oh, we got fucking, you know, a number of just lords who sat in a cupboard while their city was on fire.
Like, actually, and then a handful seriously, of, literally.
Yeah, seriously. And then a handful of you who actually did something about it. Great. I don't automatically trust you guys. You will still have to earn it, but like you guys get a chance to earn it. All the rest of you eat a huge dick. Like, get out of my face.
And I believe that a Colivere is one of these who was actually trying to help as well.
Correct.
But
and
was
so she
doing
ends
it
up
for the wrong reasons.
Well, sure. Yeah. Because again, he doesn't necessarily know what their reasons were. And so Colivere and Dobraine are both a couple of the big lords and ladies of Carrion who he goes, hey, great. Come here. Be, you know, in sort of my inner circle for Carrion, for the ruling of Carrion, blah, blah, blah. And let's vet you a little. And then, of course, immediately, Dobraine's like, great. I'm in.
This guy is awesome.
Right? I will prove myself to... Well, and of course, again, one of the first moments that we actually see Dobraine and Colivere, because we haven't actually seen hardly any of the things that they did necessarily, because we did actually see Telmanis. He's one of the ones who actually is outside the city and gets collected by Matt. We see Nalasian. He's another one who actually gets sort of collected by Matt into the band. But Dobraine and Colivere are both like in the city. we don't actually see them in the battles outside of Carrion because they're dealing with stuff like Aiel who get inside. They're dealing with the evacuations. They're dealing with all of that different stuff inside the walls of Carrion. And right. I think they sort of like show up at the end, like being like, Dobrain is actually like, hey, we actually came to help. It looks like you've kind of got this under control. So what can I do for you? And Kolivar is like, oh, we came to help. Such a pity that everything's over now.
Did we miss all the fighting?
Right, oh, exactly.
Darn.
But Dobrain's actually like, oh shit, I'm sorry that we missed all the fighting. Can we do anything now? And well, Rand's like, yeah, yeah. But then this the also first time points that we out... really see them is Rand goes into the Great Hall of Carrion. The throne room of Carrion, basically, the House of Lords room in Carrion. And he's like, all right, cool. Audience time. And all of the Aiel-like leadership is in there, and all of the Carrionan leadership is in there, and all of the Tyran High Lords are in there. And he's like, cool, everybody get in here. We're about to have an audience. And all of the Carrionan High Lords are like, hey, Tyrans, you're not as good as us. Get the fuck to the back. And they're like,
we're about to have a come to dragon meeting.
Right? And they're like, oh, and Aiel, you're not even fucking people. You guys get to the back too. And they all go to their like normal places in like order of their station in Kyrian. And then the Tyran High Lords are like, all right, fine, fuck it. I guess we're behind them. And then the Aiel are like, all right, well, we don't actually even care that much about titles. So I guess we'll stand in the fucking walls. We'll stand.
We'll kill you from the back of the room, right? From the front of the room. You know, it doesn't matter where we stand.
And Rand gets up, right? And Rand gets up in front of them and goes, guys, no. All of this is wrong. I want everybody in order of their station, regardless of where you're from. We all just fought together on the battlefield. Like, deal with it. We're all standing.
And the Carrion are not happy.
Oh, they are so not happy. Especially because if I remember correctly, there's like two Carrionans, and it's like Dobrain and Kolivar who are like left at the front. And everybody else is like behind Tyran High Lords and behind like Aiel like clan chiefs and shit like that. And they're just like, what the fuck just happened?
Do you know, as like a side note here, I love the fact that they're in this big ass meeting and not a one person was like, hey, where's Talmanes?
Right?
Well, because he never came back.
Right. Well, like, again, it's funny. I think he actually does come back because he's in
the... Eventually, yeah.
Yeah, but not necessarily right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, no,
not
you're right. Away.
No, I don't know if he's actually in that meeting because it's pretty soon after and he's still chilling with Matt, like after Matt's got like fucking Kooladin's head on a spike and he's just like, I didn't necessarily want to kill him, but he made me do it. And like, they're just chilling and drinking. Like,
he pushed me.
Yeah. Don't fucking push the husband to the daughter of the Nine Moons and the fucking Raven King and whatever, however stupid many titles I have. I'm no bloody lord. Get out of
right
here.
Seriously, son of battles.
Just like a little bit of
I love though that in this moment, you know, it's like you were saying, you've got like Dobrain and Kolivar right there, bunch of Tyran High Lords, bunch of Aiel, and then bunch of Carrionan. The other Carrion are not happy about this. And Dobrain is like, I've been honored by the Lord Dragon.
Oh, yeah.
He even recognizes like this. And this is something that I believe. I think this is what sets Dobrain apart because he's so smart. He's one of the few people this side of the Dragon Wall who can look at an Aiel and say, that's a Tardad. I mean, maybe he can't. Maybe he can't like say Tardad, Goshen, like maybe he can't do that, but he knew this group of Aiel
is different than that fucking group around. Of Aiel.
Group of Aiel helped us, and he was smart enough to say, good guys, bad guys, kill you, team up with you. And when he saw Rand riding at the head of the good guys, Aiel, he was smart enough to be like, that's a guy I don't want to fuck with. Oh, you're the dragon? Sure you are. Absolutely. I swear fealty to the dragon.
Doesn't even fucking matter to me whether you actually are or aren't. You just saved my city?
Excellent. You can call yourself whatever you want, my guy. I'm yours forever. Yeah. Well, and he takes it seriously. He means it.
Yes. Well, and of course, it's interesting because I think that that is definitely his attitude on the battlefield. But once he actually meets Rand, he's like, bruh, you are actually who you say you are. You're not just blowing smoke up my ass. Like, you are exactly who you actually say you are. And it's interesting.
It takes some time, but yeah.
It does. No, but it's also interesting because I think that Dobrin's one of those interesting Carianan. Allah, in my opinion, very similar to Talmanes. I mean, Talmanes is still young, and so he definitely still plays, you know, the game of houses and whatnot more. But it's interesting because I feel like Dobrin is so outside of the game of houses, and he plays only out of necessity. He only does the bare minimum in Deus Demar in so many ways to keep himself where he is for his family. Jesus Christ, right. Guys.
The chat's killing me.
Right?
Guys, for those of you who want to know why I'm chuckling every once in a while, it's in our live chat. If you want to join us on our live chat, go to our website, blacktowerpod.com. There is a link to join our Patreon. For the lowest tier at $1 a month, you can actually join in on our Discord and listen to us record live. You get to hear all of our outtakes and our fun, the times that technology is tainted and we have to swear and curse a lot at our computers.
Right? Fuck this.
You get to hear all that, all those things that are edited out of the episode. So come on also, in, see what I'm laughing at.
Speaking of which, thank you very much for reminding me, because this is the first episode of a new month. So we do actually have a couple of things to do. Number one, I am sure that Andrew is on the stickers, because he actually is the one responsible for those. So anyone who is expecting a sticker this month, do remember that there is a release schedule. If you are a Patreon, you have access to the release schedule, so you will be able to tell exactly when you should be getting certain things. Also, anyone who joined us at the soldier at the dedicated or Ashaman tier, or if you got a promotion thanks to your contribution, I am actually sending out your dragon and sword coins tomorrow. Woohoo! So expect those in the mail within the week. But we do actually have some new people to talk about. So we have Jen, who is coming in at a $10 a month pledge, which is, I believe, the soldier tier. So that is welcome. Thank you very, very much for being here. I think you will also be getting a Twitter and an Instagram shout out when we can get those done as well. We also have Pac-Man in Idaho. Thank you very much for joining us all the way from Idaho. Also, Jen right is joining us from me. Tennessee. Indeed. You're the only Tennessee. In fact, we actually have two Tennesseans. We have Phoenix from Tennessee as well. So again, I expect your stuff very, very shortly as far as your physical rewards, because we are now, as I said, on that regular schedule. You can look up that schedule if you are a Patreon. So again, even if you joined like 3 days, you can join the day before a new month. And if it's a physical rewards month, as soon as you get sort of charged for that first month on the first of that month, then you get your stuff. So join us. And as stated,
join us. Or die. there's the movie quote for the night.
There we go. I like it. Also, as stated by the handsome Soravan Mihail over here, as soon as you join on any tier, even the very lowest at $1 a month, you do get access to the Patreon exclusive parts of our Discord channel, as well as on Tuesdays, well, as many Tuesdays as we can make happen. You will get access to our live recordings. So this one was on the 7th. If you're listening to it, it's the 7th. And if you're listening to this later, you could have been with us on the 7th when this was live and joined in on all of the tainty goodness that happens in our live recording discussion, as well as listened to all of the shenaniganry that happened as well. And I believe when this one goes out, the next one that we will be recording will be the one on the 21st. So you can join us for that as well. But with all of that out of the way, back to Dobrin.
Back to Dobrin. And, you know, I will say this too as a real quick sideways. We did get Morshadi in the chat who did outline real quick that Rand mixing and matching the nobility in this meeting was actually a mistake. That he maybe didn't do the right thing by doing this, because all he did was destabilize the political center in Carrion. And the problem is, that's the exact opposite of what he needed to be doing. So this is a really great example of how Robert Jordan has humanized his characters a little bit, in that, you know, nothing's worse than reading a book where the hero gets it right on the first try, you know.
Every time. Yeah, fuck that shit.
Even montages are a little bit cheating.
Right?
Because you get a montage and it's like, oh good, they trained in a gym for an hour and now they can beat the big bad guy. And it's like, okay, no, that's not how this works. But the point being,
the best is a montage with a song, and the best is Danny DeVito singing that song while Hercules fails miserably for the first half of it and then succeeds well above expectations for the second half.
That's a good one.
If anyone wants to look it up, I don't actually know if Danny DeVito sings that song. They may have actually used somebody else for the singing parts. Does he? Okay, good.
Nope. He does. He sings fuck it, yeah, man. Danny. He rocks it, too.
Dude, I miss Danny DeVito in things like that. Fucking Danny DeVito in Batman, Batman Returns.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking Danny DeVito in Matilda, and Danny DeVito voicing Phil in Hercules. That was like my favorite Danny DeVito. Again, I know he's still done a good amazing dude, job. And I know he still does work, and it's good work. I'm not a huge fan of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but not because of Danny DeVito. I still think that he's doing a great job. Sure. At the same time, I'm not a huge fan of the show. So
Dobrin, I think, does his first.
Oh, fucking twins. Talk all day. Yes. All right.
Sorry. That was a good flick. So Dobrin, like, he does a lot of good, right? We see him doing this thing. But what he does, like, to me, is his first truly badass moment. And I will say this with a little bit of care and a grain of salt, because he does have a pretty badass moment in defending Carrion from the Shido. Oh, Danny DeVito and Taxi. Yes. Also a great, great show. But anyway, I digress. He after Rand is kidnapped, put in the box, carried off toward Tar Valon, and we know now of our this hair just keeps it's a flyaway. It will not. I need like a anyway. He Dobrin approaches Perrin and is like, we got to do this. We got to go get him back. He's gone, and this is not okay. They figure it out that Rand has been kidnapped. They mount up. They ride into the sunset to trail after these Aes Sedai. The big difference between these two things is And again, take what I say here with a grain of salt. It's relatively easy to defend your home.
Yes.
When you wake up one morning and you say, ah, yes, death has come for me. I shall fight like a lion to the last. That's an easy thing to say. That's an easy thing to do. When you wake up one morning and you go, oh, the guy who just destabilized my entire country has been kidnapped. I know I made an oath to protect him and be on his side, but maybe I just pretend like I didn't hear that little missive. No, he didn't. He took it seriously. Loaded up with like a couple hundred troops. I don't even think it was that many.
Well, and so again, remember that it wasn't even it, like, again, you're doing a relatively good representation, but it was Dobrin being extremely proactive because yes. He heard what was going on and said, there's something wrong here. I'm being told something that doesn't actually track with the facts that I am seeing with my own eyes. And I don't believe that right. Rand would just peace out like that. Again, I know that he can. I know that he has. I am aware that this is something that he does, but it's that been too long, or it's been too, you know, intense, or there have been problems that have arisen that he would absolutely come back for, or whatever. I need to be proactive about this. And the other Tyrion High, or not Tyrion, Carrion and High Lords are like, calm down. The Aes Sedai are like, calm down. Everybody's like, dude, Rand does this all the time. And I mean, like, some of them are in the city intentionally spreading the lie because they need to keep it up. But then other people are just 100% fine with going along with it because they're just like, well, A, who gives a fuck if it is true? Who gives a fuck if it isn't true? And also, we're being given this information and I'm just choosing to believe it. And again, Dobrin, as you said, yep. could absolutely just say, oh, well, then I believe what you're telling. It's not even necessarily like, oh, I'm forgetting the part of my oaths. It's 100% just like, I'm being told false information. And I actually need to actively find out whether it's false without just believing it because it seems a little off.
Like, well, and again, going back to how smart he is, how intelligent he is.
Yeah.
He can see the Fire Darai's Mai. And he can see that they're out. Nervous.
Yeah.
He's like, no, 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 no. That's not normal. Aiel are weird. Aiel spirit sisters are even weirder. That's not normal.
They keep on saying Rand's joke is about the water, and I don't fucking get it. But at the same time, they're weird. Or they're nervous.
The joke is about the water. Uh-huh.
Right? Yes,
it's yeah. fine. It's fine. He's here. It's fine. Everything's fine. Water.
Chickens. But yeah, no. And so he, as you said, he's very proactive and he's very protectoral. And he absolutely goes, you know what? I know that no one else is going to come with me, but my bannermen, I can tell them to go. So
yep.
my bannermen and the Two Rivers men who are, you know, basically just outside the city with you, Perrin, you, because you feel that Rand is in trouble. We're all going to go. And we're going to take a few Aes Sedai with us who are like, yeah, you know what? You make some good points.
Something's not right.
Something is wrong. And we're not going to take all Something's of our sisters. Fucky. We're not going to take all of our sisters because we're going to hedge our bets because we're Aes Sedai and that's what we do. But you know who else
right.
like feels like something's wrong? Alana. So maybe we should listen to our guts on this one and get the fuck over there.
Well, and as they're marching, they meet up with a crew of Aiel.
Yep.
And he's kind of like, I fucking knew it.
Yep.
Because the Aiel are like, yeah, we think he's this way, so we're running. Oh, yep. Hi, guys. Told you yep. everything's fine. We're just on our way to go get him.
Right.
And he's like, yeah, no, I knew it. Ha ha. And this is where
that badass moment that you were about to talk about, because this is when it shows up, when they actually get to their destination and he goes, all right, look at these odds. And Josh, what does he do? Does he go back to Kyrian? Does he turn around and go, you know what?
Not.
Fuck it. There's a lot of Shido here. There are a lot of wise ones here. They seem to have no qualms with using the power. I'm just going to take my Bannerman and go. I'm just, screw you guys, and again.
This is where I was getting to. It's mm-hmm. real easy to defend your home. It's real easy to think that, you know, today is a good day to die. And it's very easy to say, it's very difficult to say, I don't have to be a part of this battle.
Yes.
And this is a no-win situation. And what does he do? Hoist the colors. We're going to go save the Lord Dragon.
Right?
And, oh.
It's very nice. I like it a lot.
It's so good. It's so good.
Well, and of course, it's also one... There's... Right, it's also one thing to be Tavirin. It's one thing to pull out your axe and go,
yeah,
one of my best friends who I am tied to is down there and I need to go get him back, because if I don't get him back, then not only do we lose Tarmin Gaiden, but I also just like kind of fucking die. I don't know exactly what would happen, but if the dragon dies or actually gets, you know, captured in Tarvalon, I'm fucked. Dobrin right. can basically just say, nah, the Aes Sedai have got this. I'm not tied to him in any way. I made some oaths, but that's just fancy Again. Words, because I wasn't holding the fucking oath rod. Like, it doesn't mean anything. But he goes, A, on my honor as a person, and on my honor as a lord, and because I know how important he is for Tarmin Gaiden, because I know that it's the right thing to do, and because I know that what they're doing to him is the wrong thing, not just for the world, but just morality in general. Right. I am going to go down there with like 100 people. I know it's actually a little more than that, but it's not a lot. I'm going to go down there with all of my Bannermen. Oh, no. The even more badass one. I love this moment. He makes a speech to his men. I remember
That's
this.
Right.
This is when I fucking loved Dobrin. Because, like, before this, he was great people, and I could tell that he was good people. But this was the moment where I was just like, this motherfucking guy. Perrin and he are standing at the head of the Two Rivers men and his Bannermen. And he gets up on his horse in front of everybody and goes, all right, so here's the deal. Everything is against us in this battle. And there's like a 75% chance that all of us die and we don't get the Dragon Reborn back. Now, if we do nothing, we really fuck up. But if anybody who's here has a family, has responsibilities, has whatever that are more important than this, you will not be held court-martialed. You will not be, you know, branded a traitor. You can go home right now and I will not do anything to you, and I will make sure that no one else in Kyrian does.
Right.
Go join another Lord's Banner today, because that's your prerogative, because this isn't your home. You're not defending your home. You're defending right. a man who just destabilized our entire country.
Exactly.
And every single one of his Bannermen, and of course, I love how Perrin's like, cool, what he said. And then every single Bannerman of Dobrin, every Aes Sedai, and every Two Rivers man goes, That was a great speech. Could you shut up and turn around and charge into this battle? Because, like, we're really sick of listening to you talk, and it's time for bows. It's time for stabs. Like, let's go.
Well, and again, these are those subtle bits that you don't get to, that you don't really think about unless you're lame enough to have a podcast. But
who would do
when
that?
You say that? You say it like that. You say, Dobraine stops and says, you've got family at home. You've got responsibilities that you don't want to leave behind. You will die this day.
Probably.
If you would like to take care of those responsibilities, you may leave and go home to your family. Go home to your responsibilities. You do not have to do this. And he's such a good leader. He's such a good lord. He's such a good nobleman. That every single one of them is like, nope, I serve House Taborwin.
I bet you, I will admit that, like, again, this is one of those moments where on the page, it doesn't specifically say that every single man says yes, but like Robert Jordan's like, he was a really good leader. It was a really good speech. Everybody was like, dude, we're coming with you. But you know there was like one or two Senbuis in like his forces and with the Two Rivers men who were like, you know what? I'm gonna sit this one out. But again, it's a super small number. It's like the two Karens in the whole group who were like, or, fuck this shit. I'm talking to the manager, and went home.
Or they're carrying in, right? So they're like, yeah. No, I can't leave. Do you imagine? I will get eaten alive if I leave right now. That would be seen as weakness.
No, and Dias Demar
will not allow said weakness.
Well, and I will admit, this is one of those moments where I feel like Dias Demar is one of those fascinating games, just because nothing means anything, yet everything means everything. Because again, Rand sits there in his hotel room, in his, you know, room in the inn or in the common room or whatever, getting letter after letter after letter from, you know, higher and higher lords of Carrion when he's passing through the first time, before he even announces that he's the Dragon Reborn, before he ever does anything. He's just getting fucking letter after letter, and he's just like, I don't want these, and just throws them in the fire. And everybody's like, and so, like, again, nobody's sitting there being like, oh, so he's not a lord and we don't actually need to pay him any mind, and he keeps just throwing away the letters. They're like, oh, he's such a good Dias Demar player. And so I feel like there's definitely a lot of that with Dobraine, because I feel like, again, I'm not saying he doesn't play Dias Demar at all. I'm sure that he actually knows certain rules and actually does certain things and whatnot. But when
you know the rules, and so do I.
But it's one of those interesting things where even when you just do the morally right thing, and everybody goes, "Oh, this is such a great Dias Demar move.
He's such a good player,
right?"
There's something to be said about that.
And I think that one of the reasons that Dobraine is actually still successful in Carrion is that he started on a great footing. You know, House Taborwin is absolutely a strong house in Carrion by the time that Dobraine becomes the head of it. But then, like, he just walks around doing the right thing, and everybody's like, oh no, we can't go home. He's such a good Dias Demar player. He's backed us into a corner by making such a wonderful speech. He's a genius. And he's just like,
genius.
No, I was serious. Go home if you want to. Jesus Christ.
it's like the Ferris Bueller. You're still here.
You're still here.
It's over.
Go home.
Go home. Oh man.
But anyway, so yeah, that times. Is so badass. And of course they go in and they do actually successfully save Rand, so it actually works out really well for them. Now granted, again, I don't know if it would have been as successful
there's a group of people who showed
if
up
like you know
them.
The Ashaman hadn't like shown up and turned it into like a meat grinder or something.
Oh. Take that, Shido scum.
Oh, you see these? You see these? These are cheesecake plate lifting arms. Oh yeah? Yeah? You want some of this?
Y'all, you guys can't see it right now. We're totally flexing. We're like,
we were.
Which way not to Mize Wells?
Oh yeah. That oh yeah. Way? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. Is the Dragon Reborn over there, or is it over there? That way? Jesus Christ!
They're gonna watch this episode. Yeah, that's. I was just gonna go for it right there, and it's gonna be the gif of that little kid, you know, with the scrawny arms. Ah!
Yeah.
That's how people are gonna see this.
Dude, sorry to go on a little bit of a tangent. I'm not sorry to go on a little bit of a tangent, but have you seen that dumb video of the dude with, like, he's got big muscles. Like, I'm not saying he doesn't, but he takes an egg and he puts it here, and then he cracks it and he goes, I'm built different. And then all of the other people being like, it's an egg. Like, just...
There was...
What the... I love it. They're so good. I love all the response to this.
Are as big as my finger.
Yeah. Like, no, 100%.
And she just goes, squish and goes, I'm built different.
Dude, it's so good. I love it.
I'm built. My favorite one was when the dude cracked it and the yolk went into his ear. And he was like, oh.
Right?
It was like hanging out of his ear. That was great.
Anyway, but yeah, so Dobrain goes in. Helps save the day, because again, he was just one of many cogs in that particular machine that was happening. Rand even technically sort of gets himself out of the situation. Now, granted, the distraction was needed, but he does help himself out of the situation. Demise Wells happens. Dobrain sees all of the Aes Sedai swearing fealty. He's like, dude, this guy is super serious. I've never seen anything like that in my whole goddamn life.
This dude's the real deal. Like, I knew there was something to it, but holy shit.
So they go home, Rand stays in Carrion for a little while, and then he makes Dobrain regent of Carrion, because he sees his character. He sees that he only plays Deus Demar when he needs to. He sees that he's good people with good morals, and a really good leader. And also, he sets Barrelline up as his right... Oh, no, that's not true.
Nope.
Dobrain is Lord Regent, but Ruark and Barrelline are basically under him.
Yes.
So they're, like, kind of... like, they're triple-teaming it, but, like, technically Dobrain's in charge.
Right.
Dobrain is technically the Lord Regent. And then there's Ruark and Barrelline basically making it so that not only Carrion and Zerin charge, because while Rand does trust Dobrain, he definitely recognizes that not giving any of the minorities in Carrion, i.e. the Aiel and the Terrans and everybody else, a representation would be a mistake. But of course, he also recognizes that fuck all the Terran High Lords. And so he makes Barrelline the representative of the Terran High Lords, even though fucking Tyr every year is like, oh, hey, can we get Mayenne? And she's like, no, fuck you. And they're like, oh, hey, can we get Mayenne? And she's like, no, fuck you.
Yep.
And it works out really, really well for a little while. But.
Yeah, but then, but as things do, people find a way around it and... You know, Dobrain, especially in Carrion,
attacked, and he nearly fucking dies. It is
like, as a matter of fact, they thought he was dead.
Yeah, no, they absolutely thought he was dead. And then I do not remember her name, but like one of the most best yellow healers of the Aes Sedai,
Tamagawa.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. She shows up and she's like, "Bruh." He is hanging on by a thread, and me trying to heal him may snap that thread, but if I don't do
it may actually kill him.
Right? But if I don't do it, he's dead anyway. So,
wait a minute. I think the proper hand motions are, you know, that's what they're doing in the trailer. Anyway.
No, actually the proper hand motions are this. It's
What a strange weave you're using there.
Yes, it's interesting. It uses weaves of force and also air. I know those aren't one of those isn't technically a power, but it doesn't matter. But yeah, so she brings him back from the absolute brink. And, you know, like all great characters in the Wheel of Time who you like and want to see live, he gets better. And
but this is actually one of the interesting things about it, though. He does get better, but he has to do his recovery the old-fashioned way.
Yes.
Zamitsu is able to heal him just enough to where he won't die.
Well, and again,
and she says, if I push him anymore, he gonna kick the bucket.
Well, and it's one of those interesting things where I really like how well, in so many ways, Robert Jordan fleshes out the mechanics behind healing. Where it's like, yes, you get healed once. Now, if you get new wounds, those can be healed. I'm not saying you can't healed again later. I will murder you in the face. I will give you new wounds. But if you get new, you know, cuts, bruises, blah, 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 all of those different things, then they can heal those. But when Samitsu comes in and heals him, that's it. That's what she can do on that level.
Right.
And she pushes it as far as she can go and then has to stop. And so the whole rest of the recovery is all just Dobrain. She can't just come in tomorrow and put her hands on him and be like, oh, now you have more strength? Great. Healed for good. Like, he has to go through the rest of it on his own, because healing is kind of a one-time thing. I mean, there are other times where they do work with old stuff in some ways, but overall, like, you get one shot. You get one shot at the healing, and then it's done.
The way I understood it is, so it's almost like a stamina bar, right? If you're normally healthy and you're like, cool, and you get injured, broken arm, broken leg, they're able to come in and say, healed, heal it up just good as new, and then you're super hungry for the next 2 or 3 days, because they take stamina that you would have had for the next couple days and they use that to speed up the healing process.
Exactly.
So when Dobrain is healed as much as she's willing to push it,
he has a 2 in his stamina bar and she uses one of it.
She uses one just enough to make sure he's gonna make it, and then she's like, he's gonna be on his ass for the next week. If anyone touches him, he dead. So I need you guys to use your herbs, your poultices, your, you know, whatever you need. Wrap those bandages, keep him hydrated, old-fashioned healing for him from here on out. We saved his life, the rest is up to him. And it was, you know, it speaks volumes that he can be that close to death, use the power to heal his wounds, which puts him even closer to death in a way, and he still pulls through.
Yes. No, it's amazing, because again, as I said, I love the way that Robert Jordan sort of fleshes out the different thing. And he does it as early on as Matt. I actually really like the Matt story. But again, it's two very different things. What do the Aes Sedai do with Matt and the dagger? They take the dagger and they seal it away with the sisters that they have in China. But they are like, we can't sever his connection because we don't have A, the right people, and B, enough of the right people.
Right.
So what we're going to do is not try to sever the connection, because we really only get one shot at that. What we're going to do is take this dagger and put it in a box and do some magic to make sure that it goes in the box and doesn't keep hurting him. But he's got to go to Tar Valon for us to, like, sever that connection. And again, we get one shot to like to remove it from him, or to seal it away, or maybe even like not even seal it away, maybe just to heal the damage that's already been done. And then we get one shot at severing it. And then of course, Matt's in the White Tower doing exactly the same thing that Dobraine is, if you will. He's hungry all the time. He's gaunt as fuck. He's like just getting back up to stamina bar the old fashioned way, you know, by smoking cigarettes.
Don't they even
like
note,
in fucking
don't they even note Red that Dead Redemption. He is like, wow, he's got like amazing, like we wouldn't be, he's got amazing stamina. Like there's no way we would be able to do this on
totally
a normal person.
No, absolutely. But then again, this is another step or another situation where they're like, Sumitsu's like, I get one shot at this. I can't show up tomorrow when he's got a 5 in his stamina and use 4 of it to make him even better. This is it.
Yeah.
He's got a 2.
Yeah.
I'm going to use one of them to make sure he doesn't die. The rest is up to him because I can't come back tomorrow. I can't come back next week. I can't do shit for him after this one time that I can bring him back from the absolute brink of death. That's it. That's all I get. The rest, please, as you said, bring in your poultices. Normally, I fucking look down on you wisdoms. I'm like, fuck you. Fuck your shit. Aes Sedai magic is better. But today, I've done what I can do. You get all of the tea. You get all of the chicken soup. You get all of your herbs. Get them inside him tomorrow because he's going to eat it.
Things have taken a turn in the chat. Indeed. You guys are off topic.
Yeah, stop it.
Hey, so Lord Dobraine recovers. He makes it back to the land of the living, and Rand.
And that's pretty much it. No, I'm just
kidding. Yeah, and that's it, and that's done. Good night.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, Rand says, "Hey, buddy, I need you. I like you. I trust you. And we're going to go attack, or we're going to go take Arad Domon. And I need someone I can trust." Mm-hmm. And essentially charges Dobraine with, you know, bringing stability to Arad Domon. He says, you're my guy. He and Ruark come in. They start taking territory. They're able to secure quite a bit before, what is it? What happens? I can't remember. Able to secure quite a bit. Basically, Rand has planned to set him up as the king of Arad Domon.
If the king can't be found.
Al-Salam can't be found.
Which, to be fair, I think that he actually, again, this is reading into it. This is not on the page. The last battle ends with shit going down, and he doesn't, you know, Brandon Sanderson and Robert Jordan don't include an epilogue that says, oh, and also Dobraine is made king of Arad Domon. But we know the fate of Al-Salam in so many ways.
Yes.
He's gone. He is definitely not showing back up and being made king of Arad Domon. He's gone. That's over with. We, the readers, know that. Not everyone in the story does yet, but we know that. So I definitely read into it that Dobraine absolutely sort of inherits Arad Domon afterwards. But again, that's not said on the page. But again, it's
right
at that point, Dobraine like seems to have a little bit of an expectation, but he's also super humble. And when Rand shows up and he goes, and Dobraine says, hey, here are all my bannermen. We've taken this much ground. The Shan Chan are fucking obnoxious, but we've made it this far.
They are.
He's like, all right, what do you want me to do now? And of course, again, as stated, he is expecting Rand to say, continue your campaign, take all of Arad Domon, finish the job, and rule, basically. And Rand says, cool. Again, I need people I can trust and who will be good at what they do. I need you to go back to Tyr because I don't trust a single goddamn Terran ever in the history of anything. I keep Wyramine as close to me because I trust him the least. Can you go make sure that Tyr doesn't suck horribly? And Dobrain is, I mean, like, I'm not going to say that he's not disappointed. Again, it doesn't say that he is, but definitely he's like, yes, well, that is exactly what I'm going to go do. You are asking me to do that? I'm off.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask you for our Domon. I'm not going to stand here and pout about it. I'm not going to stand here and say, but I did this for you. Now you owe me. He's like, nope, cool. All right, Tyr, here we come. Let's go.
I almost get the feeling, too, that there's a sense of, when does it end? I'm an old man. True. I can't keep doing this. I've got to settle down into a place and be done. But again, also, it never says that on the page. Yeah. Yeah.
It came for me once, and I almost goddamn shook hands.
Just to read it onto the page, you know, Dobrain is just like, cool. What do you need of me, my lord?
Yeah.
And like, dude is rock solid. Dude is rock solid.
He really is. Now, I will say does not get his own segment of The Last Battle, which is a little unfortunate, but his work. I mean, there's also so much in The Last Battle, so it doesn't even fucking matter.
Sure.
But, but at the same time.
What do you mean? I mean, you're dissatisfied with the amounts of information there is in The Last Battle, Daniel?
An entire Harry Potter book. Shut up. But yeah, no, I appreciate the fact that, again, Dobrain is one of those characters that even though he doesn't, you know, show up for that final hurrah in the last battle, he doesn't get the, you know, Talmanes moment of the dragons. He doesn't get the, you know, Hinderstat moment of the, oh shit, we're dealt a really bad hand. Great, let's use it for as much benefit as we can. You know, all of this different stuff. And like, you've got to know that he is fucking tired. As you said, he's older already. He just went through like the closest anyone in the, well, maybe like three people in the entire story have gotten to the gates of fucking heaven. Like, Jesus Christ, he's just wants to be done.
Let's ask this though, because we last see him in Tyr, right? Like, that's his last sort of contribution to the story is Tyr. Isn't Tyr where they have all of the healers?
Yes.
For Tarmann Gaiden?
Yes.
So,
and so I'm not saying that he doesn't contribute in Tarmann Gaiden because he does have an important role. Being where all your medics are and defending them is a very important role, but it's not as epic as charging into the fortress. It's not as epic as just laying down your Hinderstaff lives that you'll get back tomorrow, but still, to just defeat an entire army of Trollocs. It's not as epic as opening gateways to shoot entire like firework cannons
to pour lava upon everyone.
Yeah. It's not as epic as, you know, just having a number of Ashaman walk through a battlefield and just fucking blender it to death. Like, but at the same time, it's super important. And that's why, again, he doesn't get his like moment of necessarily like doing a thing.
Yeah.
But he does get credit. Like, credit where credit is due. He has a very important job. He has a very important role. He has a very vital experience in the last battle. It's just not as heightened necessarily as the moments, the you know, scenes, the montages, all of that. But yeah, that's sort of where we leave Dobrain, is that he's sort of probably in Tyr still picking people back up. Partially, I bet, because he goddamn knows what it's like. Like, holy shit.
Right, though? So let's wrap it up. Wrap it up for us. What are your final thoughts on Dobrain here? Give it to me straight, too.
Dobrain's cool. I know that he's not like fucking drive a motorcycle, smoke cigarettes cool. Like, he's not that kind of badass, like that kind of cool. But to be completely honest, whether you think it's good or not, I think morality is hot. I think morality is badass. Yeah. I think that when you have just that level of integrity, where it doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing or the influences that you have around you, you stick to your moral compass, whether it hurts you or not, because it is that important to you, because you have that much honor, because you know it's the right thing to do. That to me is huge for characters. And so, again, even if he doesn't ever get that like really cathartic moment of just like you can point directly to the scene that shows his contribution to the world, to the battle, to the whatever. Again, as we've said with every other character, because that's the theme of the background breakdowns, you don't have a Carrion that's as stable as it is without Dobrain. You don't have an Ara Domon that is capable of joining in the last battle without Dobrain. You don't have, you know, the respect of the people of a number of different countries in Randland without Dobrain being as badassly moral.
Yeah,
as he is.
It's true.
And again, like, Rand doesn't gain as much ground if he doesn't have somebody he can trust as much as Dobrain, because he's so true. He's so honorable. And when Rand leaves, he does not just turn around and try to take over Carrion. When Rand leaves, he does not just try to look out for his own interest. When Rand leaves, when his back is turned, he doesn't try to stab it. Kolivar, Wyrmon, all of these people would be so happy and even sometimes get the chance to just say, Rand is gone for 5 minutes? Great. How can I make this to my advantage?
And the Tyran High Lords were like, yeah, we know he's the Dragon Reborn. We're going to pretend like he's not.
Basically, like, fuck that. Fuck that immediately.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Because, like, again, don't get me wrong. I can kind of understand we don't want him to be the Dragon Reborn. It hurts our interests for him to be the Dragon Reborn. And if there was actually any real doubt that he was, sure, I can see you doubting it, but like, you fucking know. There is no chance in hell, after what you all just went through, that he isn't the Dragon Reborn. How about you all step in goddamn line and deal with the fact that you now have to make new plans? Jesus Christ.
Yep. It's true. It's true. I gotta say,
those are my final thoughts. What are your final thoughts, Soravan?
I echo what you said there to a T, because Dobrain is a classic example of a character who does not have Tavirin armor. He does not have I can channel armor. He doesn't even have I am integral to the story plot armor. He's one of those characters that if they wrote a battle scene where Dobrain charged in and died, that everybody would be like, oh, well, there goes Dobrain. You know, he was cool, I guess.
But he wouldn't get brought back to life by the Red Woman. Like, no.
Yeah.
Which, granted, I will say, it's funny that I say that, since he kind of almost was brought back to life by the Red Woman, but like at the same time, no.
But he was brought back
from the brink by the there yellow woman. Damn it. You get it right.
he was so good. It's just as you said, you know, Rand, as we said earlier, Rand made huge mistakes in Carrion.
Oh, absolutely.
He made huge mistakes in Eredemon. He made huge mistakes in Tyr. He made huge mistakes everywhere. And it was,
you know, where he made
like
the biggest mistakes, though,
Dobrain,
which I'm still PTSD about? The Black Tower. Anyway, continue.
Accurate. But he, yes, Dobrain is the Krillin of this story. You know what?
Woof.
If Andrew were here, I'll bet Smack would have probably won a triple broken crown on that one, because shit.
Yeah.
No, but Dobrain's a good guy. We like him. He, without him, you don't have a stable Carrion. Without him, you don't have a stable Eredemon. He, his experience as a lord and as a ruler really shines through. And you get that, you know, sense of his honor through, you know, his men riding with him to Demise Wells. You know, he can be left unattended and not be, you know, polishing up his dagger to stab Rand with. Like, there's, he does a lot of good things, and he plays a lot of very important foundation work.
He is a guy, and he is left alone often enough, so he probably polishes his dagger. He just doesn't use it on Rand.
I mean, definitely does some dagger polishing.
Let's be honest, he's a soldier left alone regularly. He absolutely polishes his dagger with some regularity. Though I guess he's kind of old, so maybe he doesn't. I don't know. Whatever.
There you go. Anyway, Dobrain's good. We're good. You're good. We want to thank you all for tuning in with us tonight. We absolutely have loved having you here. As I said earlier on this, go to theblacktowerpod.com. Notice we got our fantastic merch shops there. We got our New Creations by Jen merch shop. We've got our Spreadshirt merch shop. It's got a lot of awesome things there. You can also see,
and when
the
Josh is
Madness
done with his family vacation, we might even have some new designs on a couple of those things.
That might happen. Who knows?
Also, keep tuning in for our live episodes, because I'm not going to lie, while a number of our best designs have absolutely come up with because we've been in person and we just shoot the shit at mostly at Josh's place, if we're being honest, and just come up with good designs. We also do come up with some great quotes and some great moments and things like that with you, our listeners, because you guys help us immensely figure out, A, what was actually funny and worth keeping, and B...
You guys are a part of the Black Tower, that's for damn sure.
Exactly. You know, all of that different stuff. So...
All right, guys. Well, as we all know here at the Black Tower Podcast, not everything that is touched by the shadow is lost. And that is totally true for thegreatblight.com. Now, Nablus and his team have done an amazing job of going ahead and putting this together, and it is possibly the greatest resource for those of us here in the Wheel of Time community. First off, you have this awesome homepage with posts from a bunch of your favorites. Go and find, you can go and check out new things that you've never seen before, keep up to date on content creators that you already follow, and just go ahead and dip as many of your toes or your entire foot as you want into all of the different things that are going on. Now, also here, there is probably the best list of content creators. There's YouTubers, podcasters, artists, musicians, just about everything you could want. And if you don't see your favorite content creator there, that's fine. There is an application included in the site to go ahead and make sure that your favorite content creator is part of it. Just encourage them to fill out the application and Nablus will be in touch. Now, after you've gone ahead and checked that out, you're going to want to pop over to the ever-expanding library here at the Great Blight, because it is something particularly special. Now, I don't know how many times I've gone ahead and joined a fandom only to find out halfway through my first read, looking up a character, that they die in the second to last book. which sucks. It always is very disappointing when you can't look up anything interesting about what you've read for fear of things that you haven't read yet. But they've fixed the problem over at thegreatblight.com. It is a spoiler-free wiki. That's right. That means that if you've only read up to Path of Daggers and you really want to find out what in the world you missed about Egwene because there's something you just don't understand, or if you want to get more information about Rand because you think he's super cool, you don't need to read past Path of Daggers, and it's not going to ruin you on A Memory of Light before you've gotten there. You'll know exactly where to stop. You'll know exactly where you are. And once you're done with that, make sure that you go ahead and help the site out, the content creators out, everything like that, with the beta nature of it. Up here at the top, you're going to see a problem, have a suggestion button. That is specifically for if you have any issues with the site or if you have any feedback. It's only something that we can make better with feedback and with help from the community. So come on down, check it out. Grab a couple of our videos or grab a couple of our podcasts, and we'd love to see you there.
So thank you again. So please visit our Patreon if you are not a Patreon yet. At least take a look, because I'm sure that you will at least discover different things that you didn't necessarily know were there. We've talked a lot about the very first tier, the dollar a month one, but at the same time, there's a lot more there. There's a lot more to it. Some people have who are even of certain tiers haven't even taken us up on some of the rewards of the tiers. And
that is true.
That's fine. You know, every reward isn't for every person. I'm not trying to say that. But if there's something on there that you would really like to see, let us know. If there's something on there that you really love and you didn't know it was there, fantastic. Go ahead and hop in at that tier. We'd love to go ahead and provide you with whatever it is that, you know, are those tier rewards, all of that different stuff. As stated, you can go also support us by going ahead to our merch stores at New Creations by Jen or at Spreadshirt. They have great designs. They have great fun.
Everybody loves merchandise, and one of the best possible places to go and get yourself some really dope Wheel of Time inspired themed merchandise is, of course, newcreationsbyjen.com. So whenever you go to newcreationsbyjen.com, whether you're looking for just Wheel of Time inspired stuff or not, you can find all kinds of really cool merchandise and goodie opportunities, all the way from gifts for your family, friends, significant others, whoever have you, newborns, children, toddlers, women, men, adults, anybody that wants anything, you can find something for them for sure on New Creations by Jen. Now, most of you listening are going to be looking for Wheel of Time stuff. And the easiest way to find it is to go to the catalog section on New Creations by Jen, where you can see the groups of stuff for us at Black Tower Podcast, Malkier Talks, Talk Around Riyadh, Will Reads, The Will Weaves, and Weekly Will News. So you can find all of this stuff, and you can browse and look at all the different kinds of things that each content creator that is a part of New Creations by Jen has taken and asked Jen and Rob to put up on the site. Obviously, we're going to use ours as an example so that you can go in and look at Black Tower Podcast stuff, because we are the Black Tower Podcast. So if you go on, you can get our Two Rivers Sniper shot glass as well as Two Rivers Sniper shirt. It's available on a red shirt. So you can go on and you can get our Frosty mug, which is one of the Frosty mug collectibles. Each Wheel of Time content creator that is on New Creations by Jen has a Frosty mug that you can go in and get for yourself. So after you get ours, make sure you get the others and get the entire set and join the Frosty Mug Society. Of course, there's more than just Frosty mugs and little shot glasses, and there's plenty of different kinds of shirts with different designs on them from all of the different content creators. Of course, you can find ours where you can get our logo in black and white on a shirt. I have one myself. It's fantastic, and I love it. Jen and Rob do an amazing job of working with not only their customers, but the content creators that they help support with this amazing and very good quality merchandise. So, if you have not headed over to New Creations by Jen and gotten yourself something dope, make sure you go and do that. Again, it's newcreationsbygen.com.
But yeah, so go ahead and check that stuff out. Also, as Josh mentioned earlier, the RSVP is actually still up as of today for the Gathering Madness. If you are thinking about being there in person or thinking about being there online, the event is very much geared towards online because that was the response that we received. But if you want to be there online or in person, we'd still love to hear from you as far as the RSVP, as well as please go and go on our Twitter and suggest those hot sauces for our Taste the Taint challenge that will be happening in October at the Gathering Madness, as well as any and all of the mixology contest as well. We have a number of entries and we're actually pretty happy with them, but we could always use more. We will not decry you going ahead and getting in, because that's what it's for. That's the whole point. We want to have a good time. We want to have awesome drinks that we can go ahead and have a good time with, as well as enjoy. So get in there, get your submissions in. Submissions for, I believe, the RSVP will end on October 1st. I think that we'll probably end up taking mixology all the way up until the date, or maybe like a week before or so. And then Taste the Taint, we will also be doing ending on like October 1st, because we are throwing all of the suggestions to our Patreons to vote for, and we want to have enough time to do that. So I think we'll give it like a couple of weeks. So if you have a hot sauce that you're super, you know, fond of and want to see us try, or if it's super hot and you just want to see us suffer, or whatever the case may be, please suggest it on the Twitter. We'd love to hear from you. And yeah, I'm pretty sure that's all of the things.
That's all the things. Thank you so much. You guys are awesome. We love you.
Indeed. Thank you for joining in, Daniel. For all of the people who are listening right now, live, and thank you so much for all of the people who are listening right now, not live. Weird sentence to say because time means nothing. But anyway, when you convert time means things, nothing. Time means nothing. But from all of us here at the Accurate. Black Tower, I have been your Amon Khan Mihail Daniel. We are joined in spirit by our Bijan Mihail Andrew.
I have been your Tsuravan Mihail Josh.
And again, thank you so much for joining us. We hope that everything is going your way this morning. And in case we don't see you again, good afternoon, good evening, good night.
Trouble just fitting.